about his love, think about his goodness, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
How could I forget his love?
Think about his love, think about his goodness, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Even when I stray away, his love has sought me out and found me.
He satisfies my desire. Think about his love, think about his goodness, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Thank
you, Maria. Perfect story, because it fits the sermon today perfectly. And thank you, Mapita family. What a beautiful, special item you had. And we want to see you once again. Not once again, but many times come back again for your special items. And here we are this morning, and I want to welcome you to our church, those of you who are church members of Mount Gravatt, those of you who are joining us from maybe around the place, maybe even from another country. Welcome to a live feed this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning to you, and we want to thank you, Lord, for a beautiful Sabbath morning. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the peace you can create in us and around us as we open your word, as we want to know what you are saying to us this morning. Bless us, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you know, we are in the series of sermons on Jesus' great statements, his statements, I am. Last Sabbath, it was that grandiose statement of Jesus that no other religious founder ever said or ever could do, when he said, I am the resurrection and life. But today we are going to look at Jesus's statement, which is also grandiose and in its own right so very special, when he said, I am the good shepherd. So let's read the text in which Jesus said it. I tell you the truth, he said, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate of the sheep, for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man's run away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. What a statement. What a description. Filled with images. And for us as Christians, this is not new. We grew up hearing and listening, and we remember one of the most famous Bible texts found in the book of Psalms, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, the one who calls me to a quiet place, the one who restores my soul, the one who restores me to have peace, the one who takes me through the valley of the shadow of death. This is the famous psalm about sheep and the shepherd, about God being that shepherd. And we love that psalm. So many times this psalm is read at the graveside, and we all somehow resonate with it. May I suggest, as we start this morning's sermon, that there is no person in the world who is not looking for a shepherd in their life. Everyone looks for a shepherd. Which tells you that this whole idea tells us that we are in great need, that you are in need of shepherd, I am in need of shepherd, everyone is, children are. And it's no wonder that children are brought within a family where they need adults. They need elders. They need mom and dad. They need older brother. They need mom and dad to be their shepherds. God designed it that way. And the tragedy of our culture, the tragedy of many countries, tragedy of Western civilization today is that the homes are broken and children are growing up without shepherds in their life. And I would put forward to you that even today's turmoil, the root of it is a broken family. And generations are now growing up without shepherds in their lives. Adults need shepherding. Elderly need shepherding. It says something about us as people. It says something about us, especially as those who do not measure up And in Christianity, we say it says something about us as sinners. Especially as such, we need a shepherd in our lives. Well, another reality behind this statement of Jesus, I am the good shepherd, beside it telling us that we are in great need, it also is another truth that Jesus is underlining, which is that we are, that the sheep, or that we are in danger. We are definitely in danger. Culture can be your shepherd. And the different voices of culture today are becoming more and more Babylon-like, a confusion, and people are following so many different voices. Now we have numerous cultural shepherds competing and turning sheep against each other. That's what we have become as a civilization. Different voices are calling us, and sheep are going in that direction, and in that direction, and the other direction. And still the shepherd of all, God of all, the creator of all, the savior of all, is still calling his sheep. Be careful not to be dominated by the voice of a shepherd or culture. That's a danger today, especially. Also, this statement of Jesus tells us who we are and hits the nerve. So if he says, I am the shepherd, that means that I am a sheep. So when Jesus said, I am the shepherd, he tells you and me, you are a sheep. It touches a nerve. It exposes who we really are. Sheep. So let's go a little bit and dig a little deeper into this topic today. So, number one, if I accept Jesus as that good, great shepherd of mine, what does that mean practically? What does that mean to me? What does he expect of me as his sheep? And what does he give me as a great shepherd? So if I accept him as a great shepherd who said, I am good shepherd, what does that really practically mean for me? Well, I want you to understand this. This is a beautiful truth that Jesus is saying to you today. And that is, I am around. I am there to live with you. Did you know that Middle Eastern shepherds literally lived with their sheep? That's how it was. They would move from place to place. And where sheep was, that's where their home was. They lived with their sheep. The shepherd never leaves. It's always, he's always with his sheep. Eats with them, sleeps with them, does everything for them. He's a provider, he's a protector, he's the leader, he's the owner. So when Jesus would say, I am a good shepherd, the statement that he's also making is, I live with my sheep. I eat with my sheep. I drink with my sheep. They are mine. I am theirs. I take them. I protect them. I provide for them. That's a statement. Behind this, I am a good shepherd. How important that is. But it also, this statement, what does this practically mean for me? It tells me something about myself. We admit our need for a shepherd. But there is another thing when you seriously think about the statement is, do you have a problem of admitting that you are sheep? I mean, just me saying that, don't you find that a little bit offensive if I tell you that you are sheep, if you are telling me, if you tell me that I am sheep? I mean, when you do that in a real life, that will be very offensive, and we find that very offensive. Yet nevertheless, we find that at the same time comforting. So you have this comforting sense when he says, I am a good shepherd, but you have this sense that it is kind of an offensive to say that I am a sheep and that you are a sheep. But look at it. When you compare sheep with any other animal, they're different. Almost all other animals have a sense of direction. Wherever they are, they can orient themselves. They can navigate themselves through life. They can provide for themselves. They can almost protect themselves. They come back home. They have a good sense of orientation. But like probably no other animal that exists, a sheep is lost without a shepherd. It does not have a sense of orientation. It's probably one of the most exposed animals out there, like no other. It can't get back home. So it is no coincidence that Jesus compares you and me to a sheep rather than any other animal. And he speaks of himself as a great shepherd. Now, do you find that offensive? When he says that there is every chance, not only that there is every chance, that this is the truth about you. That you are prone to wandering. You are prone to lose a sense of direction. You are prone to hit a dead end. You are prone to not to know where to go anymore. You are prone to wander and do not know how to come back. Jesus says, that's you. But he says, look, it's not a hopeless situation because I want to tell you that I provide for your need. Maybe some of you listening now, maybe you listening today need that great shepherd. You do recognize that within yourself, that you have wandered away, that you don't know the way back. That cultural voices out there are calling you and that you have blindly followed and you see that that's not it. Jesus is calling you and says, I am the shepherd and the good one. You see, we like the sound when Jesus says, I am a good shepherd, but there is every chance that you might not love the truth of it. Just want you to pause for a moment. When he says, I am a good shepherd, meaning that you are sheep, we might not like the truth of it. Yes, we like when we read Psalm, when Psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. And somehow we have become sentimental about it. But what is the truth that is Psalm or Jesus speaks to us about it? Well, here is a clash, potentially, with you in relation to the statement that Jesus makes, I am the good shepherd. There's every chance that you think of yourself as a good person, as a moral person, as an educated person, as an intelligent person, that you have what it takes, that you can navigate your life, that you will not get lost. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm perfectly fine. There's every chance that that's what you think of yourself. So why would you then in any way, in any shape or form, need somebody who will tell you, look, I'll navigate you through life. I am that good shepherd. It seems as if we are both attracted and repulsed by this statement of Jesus. I am a good shepherd. So if by any chance you think of yourself as good, moral, educated, intelligent, do you really need a shepherd? Or you're basically saying, I don't need a shepherd. What I really need is a good consultant. And let me tell you that Jesus never said that I am a good consultant or counselor. He didn't say I'm a consultant. He said I am a good shepherd. That lives with my sheep. You either live like a good, moral, educated, intelligent, independent person, or you live as a person who says, I need a good shepherd. So what is it? Which one is it? Which one are you going to give away? What myth are you going to bust in your life? What are you going to pop? What is really your reality? Even though you can sentimentally be attached to the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," but live a life totally differently. It's nothing about sentimentality, it's all about reality. Do you need a consultant or do you need a shepherd? So how do I live a life, a moment by moment, that God is my shepherd and a good one and not a consultant? How do I live that kind of life? If you have really come to the point where you understand that even though you have brain, you can think, you're intelligent, you are smart, you are educated, everything about you seems to be okay, but deep down you know that you don't have what it takes, and that you in your life circumstances need not only consultant, but you need something much greater, and that is a shepherd. Here is what you need to know then. You are to obey him fully. You are to obey the good, great shepherd deeply. And you are to obey him gladly. Think about it. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," sheep cannot say, "You help me here and then I'll be okay. I just need help at this point in time. And I'll thank you for that. We part our ways." Well, you know what? I hate to break it to you, but that's not what Jesus means, that my sheep know my voice. Because once you leave, you don't hear the voice anymore. He's not your consultant. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. I don't need you in this aspect of my life, but I'm happy that you are part of another aspect of my life. That's another thing that can happen in your Christian life. Either Jesus is a good shepherd of every aspect of your life, or he's not. But remember, he said, "I am a good shepherd." So you can expose any aspect of your life to him. "I'm good shepherd," he said. You see, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is one of full intimacy and transparency. That's what he wants. He said, "I dedicate my life to you on a daily basis, and I expect the same from you. If I'm going to be a good shepherd, you will be my sheep." I love that Jesus used this a powerful metaphor, because when you think about it, there is something in it. Shepherd, like, unlike king or father or judge or friend, has access to everything in my life. Why? Because he's always together with his sheep. Unlike friend, unlike king, unlike father, unlike judge, shepherd is always present. And we find this both comforting as well as disturbing. But that's what he says. "I dedicate my life to my sheep." You see, every aspect of my life, I say, every aspect of my life and your life, social, political, professional, family, sexual, financial, every aspect of my life. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not excluded from any of those. So are you prepared to do what he wants you to do in each area and what he is bringing into that area of your life? Or are you keeping one area of your life totally closed for him. But there's another aspect of this great statement of Jesus. We are there to obey him for the sheer existence of our lives. There's a great statement found in the Bible which says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Or another one that says, my strength is shown in my weakness. Or in fact, God's strength is shown in my weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. You see, the sheep do seem vulnerable, do seem weak. But then in itself can be an oxymoron that at that point in time, I am strong. And my weakness can turn into power because of the shepherd who is beside me. You see, when I'm fully dependent, I'm probably the most independent. That's another oxymoron, but it simply works. When I most depend on him, then I am potentially the most independent person that can be. When I genuinely lack wisdom and I seek it, I become wise. That's another oxymoron of the Bible which really works, which is really true. When I think that I lost orientation in my life and direction in my life, I'm potentially starting to have the orientation and direction. The greatest point for every person is when they come to the end of themselves and they are seeking the great shepherd to come into their life and to take over. You're only going to start to get orientation when you surrender to the great shepherd. So we owe him for our existence as a great shepherd. So what does this all mean? It means that we depend on our shepherd moment by moment. You cry to him. You talk to him. You run things by him. What about when temptation comes to your life and difficulties come through your life? When someone irritates you or offends you, how do you behave? Do you look up to the shepherd? When you fail, do you look up to him? When you succeed, when you're disappointed, when somebody praises you, all of these situations, either success or failure or irritation or anger, can bring confusion into our lives and can derail us. And we can literally go into wrong direction. You have to look back to the shepherd. Difficulties of your life, successes of your life can derail you. Jesus says, if you stick with me, I'll keep guiding you. You will not get lost. You will not get lost. Potentially any of us in these types of situations can get lost. So practically what it means is so powerful. When Jesus says, I am a good shepherd, this means that he is there every moment of his life with you, and you have his full attention for all that happens. And lastly, we obey him gladly. If you don't obey him joyfully, we then think of him as a judge or a king, but not as a shepherd. And this is a really important statement to make. You see, you would obey a king and not necessarily have any emotional attachment to him, because he's in a position of authority. If you obey judge, you can have no emotional response to him because he's in a position of authority. But if Jesus says to you that he's a judge, he's a king, but if he tells you that he's a shepherd, then he's intimately related and he's intimate part of your life. So therefore, we gladly obey him. We joyfully obey him. He said, I am not hireling. So in other words, there are two types of shepherds. There is a hireling, someone who is hired by the owner of the sheep. And he is in this business for money. So he's taking care of sheep, but his heart is not in it. That's not the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. But Jesus says, I am the owner as well as the shepherd. The owner of the sheep is intimately, emotionally related, is relating to his sheep. Jesus is saying, you are my pride, you are my joy, you are my glory. Jesus did not come to the earth just to do his job. We are his love, we are his pride, we are his joy. I often think about it. We may think of ourselves, Jesus came down on planet earth to accomplish his mission. Of course he did. But you are missing the point that he loved us so much. And by dying for us, he says, I have proved to you that I can and that I am a good shepherd. You see, when your child does well, you as a parent feel exalted. You feel pride. You feel glorified. I felt it so many times. I felt pride for every single of my children. And there are many moments when that happens. And I want others to see me that I have this pride for my child, for whatever happened, whatever they have achieved. It becomes my achievement. So your achievement is his achievement. When we as his children do well, he's exalted, he's proud and glorified. The glory and honor of a parent is looked up, is basically locked up in how well their children do. Because you are my joy and honor, all are my commands that I give you, are in fact my commitment to you. Don't ever think about the commandments as something that is a burden. He says, behind every commandment is my commitment. They are for your own good. Think of it as a shepherd's rod for your own good. I'm going to obey him gladly because his heart is totally dedicated to me in love. God's moment by moment loving commitment to you and to me should be the only motivating factor of our lives. The only motivating factor of our lives. So what does he give us as a good shepherd? Look what he says. I'm a good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. So there are two things that Jesus gives us. He says, I know my sheep. And I lay down my life for my sheep. You see, what he is saying, he says, I know you inside out. Now you may ask yourself at this point in time, if he knows me inside out, why does he love me at all then? Why would he bother? Well, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? He's basically saying, I know you to the bottom. And I love you to the sky. That's basically what he's saying. Can you reconcile that within your heart? That even he knows you better than anyone, better than your mom, better than your dad, better than your friend, better than your colleague. He knows your absolute secrets. He says, I still love you. I know you to the bottom, but I love you to the sky. So the Good Shepherd, why are you crying? Why are you dying on the cross? Why are you dying on the cross? Because I lay down my life for my sheep. I know you to the core. I know you and what you are like. Poor, pitiful, not smart. But I die for you. I love you to the heavens, he's saying to you and me. That's what he's saying to me and to you. So what does that mean to us? Rest in his saving love. Rest in it. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Really? The Good Shepherd, what are you saying to me? That no one can snatch me from your hands? Is this true? But what if I choose to leave your hand? Yes, you can. It's your choice. But this is what I love. In Luke chapter 15, you know what the answer is? Even when you leave him, even when you run away, even when you lose a direction, even when you don't know how to come back, you're totally lost and you are bleating somewhere in the desert and nobody is there to help. Who is going to come after you? The Good Shepherd. No one will snatch them out of my hands. His unfailing love and the constant presence for you and me is my motivation and your motivation for living selflessly and adopting the same attitude as he has. That's my last thing that I have to share with you. That is the only motivation that we have, his love. And then you and I adopt the same kind of attitude as a good shepherd has. So you can be under shepherd. You mom, you father, be a good shepherd to your children. You teachers out there, be a good shepherd to your children. You in whatever role you are, whatever role of influence you are, you can be under shepherd. Follow the great shepherd and be a good under shepherd. In a culture where so many are listening to the voices of many shepherds, don't, please, please, don't lose the sound of the voice of a great shepherd. It's Babylon out there. And soon the voice of come out of that Babylon will be gaining its volume. And who is calling? Who is calling out of Babylon? I put forward to you a great shepherd. And whoever hears his voice will follow him. May God bless you. As you hear the words of Jesus today, giving a great call to you and me, I am the Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Father, we come this morning to you and we want to thank you that you are our Good Shepherd. Lord, so many voices out there. So many people tempted to click on that site and hear the voice of a culture, and click another site and hear the voice of another shepherd, and then be confused. Father, I pray that we will click to open the Word. We will click to hear your Word. We will click because we'll be drawn more and more to your voice rather than the voice of culture and different voices that put sheep at loggerheads with one another. Father, your voice will be heard crying out, come out of this confusion, my people, and follow my voice. Please, Father, help us be good under shepherds, especially to the culture out there. Let us not be the followers of the culture, but let us be your followers so that we will bring many people to your fold and to the voice of a great shepherd. Lord Jesus, you're the only one who laid your life down for your sheep, and there is nobody else. So you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. So, Jesus, please, let your sheep sharpen their ears to hear your voice moment by moment, day by day. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.